Well, we continue our journey through this Lenten season, the season of spiritual preparation, as we prepare, as we fast, as we pray, as we give, as we do the spiritual disciplines that have been passed down to us in order to prepare ourselves for Holy Week, prepare ourselves after 40 days, not including Sundays, but 40 days starting on Ash Wednesday, going all the way through to Maundy Thursday. We prepare ourselves so that we're ready when we get to that awesome celebration of Christ's death and his resurrection. We're ready to celebrate because we prepared ourselves. Last week we heard the story of Jesus being led into the desert to be tempted. And we recognize that Jesus' example taught us about dealing with temptation by prayer and using God's word as he did to deal with Satan, that we recognize and are encouraged to learn God's word to deal with the challenges of our life so that we can trust that God's word is true, that we can trust that what he says and what he promises, he can complete. He is faithful. And encourage the story of the temptation encourages us to spend time during this Lenten season fasting, praying, giving to prepare for Holy Week. Today, we're continuing our Lenten journey of preparation with this very important lesson of trusting God's plan. Every time this gospel appears, it appears every 3 years, it's easy for us to gang up on Jerusalem. Because Jesus has a lot of harsh words for Jerusalem. He says, that's the place that kills the prophets, right? I read that to you. That's the place that kills the prophets. That's the place that he's going to end up going. And during the Mount of Transfiguration, we saw Elijah and Moses, and they came, as the Bible says, they came to talk with Jesus about his exodus at Jerusalem. So he knew that he was going to Jerusalem. So when these Pharisees came and said, get out of here because Herod's going to come and kill you, which they knew, they didn't really care about Jesus, I don't think. I think they cared about the fact that when Herod would come, he would come with soldiers. When Herod would come, there would be collateral damage. When Herod would come, it would be a stigma for the place. So they didn't want Jesus there because they didn't want anything political or anything bad happening where they were. And so they said to Jesus, get out of here. This is what it says right here in the gospel. It says, some Pharisees came and said to him, get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you. And Jesus responds to them, go and tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I will finish my course. It's kind of a prelude to what's going to happen in Holy Week, right? 3 days. He said, nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and on the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem. And then he makes this lament. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. We heard that in the story of Jeremiah, right? Jeremiah was telling them the truth, and they wanted to kill him for telling him the truth. And he reminded them that if they killed him, they would be shedding innocent blood, because what he was saying was what God told him to say, not his own opinion. And yet, Jerusalem was terrible for this. They did not want to hear what God said. They wanted their own way. And so he says that wonderful phrase. He says, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. How often did God want to bless the people of Jerusalem with the truth, wanted to bless them as he did so many times in history, wanted to give them a reprieve from his judgment, wanted to do wonderful things for them, wanted to share the truth with them, and yet they weren't interested in hearing it because they were the capital. They thought of themselves and their wisdom and their righteousness as being better, and they thought they could do their way, their will, their plan, that it would be better. I often, when you listen to the stories of the kings, you think to yourself, how foolish you are. You got God on your side, and yet you're constantly playing politics. You're trying to go to Egypt or to Assyria or to one of these great empires. You're thinking that worldly power is going to save you, when with Hezekiah and with others, he showed his power and he showed that he could save them, and yet they constantly went back to thinking worldly ways. Isn't that like us, right? Isn't that like us? We know God is powerful to save. Isaiah says, God, our Lord will come and save us. We know that he has the power to save us, and yet we try to figure things out on our own. We want to figure it out on our own. We want to do it our way. And so the secret to keeping God's plan is this. Jesus is very clear about the path that God has and that his way is set. Ours is set as well. I always love this diagram. You notice that? That's our plan. We often think that that's going to be our plan, right? I got to go from here to there. And I know the best way. I know the quickest way. I know the most efficient way. I can figure this out. How many of us have said that? Yeah. We're kind of like that guy up there. We'd say, there's the finishing line. I know how to get there. Unfortunately, when God plans things, God has in mind what's best for us, yet his plan doesn't necessarily look like our plan, does it? Nope. Nope. Valley, bridge, water, storms. How many of us feel like that's our life? Yeah. We thought this was just, I remember when I was young. Oh, I remember when I was young. I thought it was going to be like that. I thought, you know, you just do the right, I had this idea, you just put the right inputs in and the outputs will follow, right? Yeah. I thought if you just did this, 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 and this, then you would get this outcome. I have since learned. I used to have a full head of hair. I have since learned. That's not the way it works. Our plan does not end up being God's plan. And that's really hard because when you look back and you go, God has in mind what's best for us. I don't know. Doesn't our plan look better? But you think if our life was really as smooth as that plan, that we would learn to trust? If our life was that smooth, if that plan was our life, if we just started in one and we went through and everything was smooth, would we really learn to trust? Where do we learn to trust? Is it on those mountaintops where we have those little flags? Where do we learn to trust? It's in those valleys, right? It's in those pits. It's in those places where we're just like, Lord, how do I get out of here? It's in those places that we learn. It's in those places that we really see God's grace. It's in those places where we know that God is there. Where God is in control. It's in those places where we get encouraged. It's this passage at the bottom is from James 1, 2 to 4. It says, consider it all joy when you encounter various trials, because the testing of your faith produces endurance, so that you may be lacking in nothing. I don't know if you remember, there's a movie. I was trying to remember the title of it. Where all the people leave Earth, it's a cartoon, all the people leave Earth and they're in these spaceships. And there's a little computer. Do you remember what this? Wally. And the whole point of that is that these people are up in space and they grow to these huge sizes and they can't walk because they never use their muscles. Because they're always floating around on these chairs and they're getting everything provided for them. And so they never grow muscles. They can't even walk. And yet, that looks desirable. To going through the challenges of life that builds muscle. To going through the challenges of God's plan, which takes us into those valleys, which takes us in through those storms when we don't want to go there. We don't want to go there. I'll never forget getting off the bus at basic training. Having my first experience with the sergeants that I don't know if I can use any words to describe them that are appropriate in church. But it was horrible. Yet I don't think I've ever been in that good a shape. But it was horrible. It was horrible. But you know, that's what God's plan is. And I hate to say it, it doesn't make a good salesman to be going out there and telling people, you know, God's plan isn't the first one. Y'all come and join us so we can go on this journey. Yeah. But that's the way God is. That's the way he grows us. That's the way that he has for helping us to understand that he's there with us. That when we let go of our plans and trust in his plans, he's the one that gets us through the valleys. He's the one that gets us through the storms. He's the one that gets us through the times when we feel like we're just drowning. And when we learn that, it's really an amazing gift. St. Paul was saying that when he said in our epistle lesson, he said, brothers, join me in imitating and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and their glory is in their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things. They want that first plan, their way. And yet, this is his words, but our citizenship is in heaven. From it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. He warns us that earthly ways are not going to be God's ways, that earthly plans are not going to be God's plans, that we would like them to be, but the reality is God has a plan for us. And examples of people who trusted in God's plan are many. Many martyrs, many saints. And today we recognize with the shamrock and with the green, we recognize St. Patrick. And St. Patrick is an interesting guy. I kind of told this story, but I want to read the details so you understand that it was never as nice as the little kids' books tell us. Because for St. Patrick, this was not an easy journey. Patrick lived a full life, but not without his share of suffering and adventure. He was born in Britain in the 4th century around 380, during a time of great uncertainty for the Roman Empire. The Roman legions that once protected civilized Britain from barbaric invaders were called away to defend themselves in other regions of the Roman Empire. Therefore, Britain was left vulnerable to attack. Just before Patrick turned 16 years of age, he and his family spent time at their holiday villa by the sea when Irish pirates attacked it just before dawn. Some say the villa was attacked during the day while Patrick played on the beach. Although Patrick's family escaped, Patrick and many of the family's workers did not. And soon they were en route to Ireland, where Patrick was sold as a slave to Meliuk of Slimak, a Druid tribal chieftain. Patrick was given the task of a herdsman. Though raised in a Christian home, his father, a civil magistrate and tax collector, as well as a church deacon, Patrick never made a decision to follow Christ until he was kidnapped and made a slave. In his autobiography, Confessions, Patrick wrote, "The Lord opened my senses to my unbelief, so that though late in the day, I might remember my many sins, and accordingly, I might turn to the Lord my God with all my heart." Good theme for Lent, right? He also wrote about how his faith in God grew as he prayed to him while he shepherded the flocks. But after I had come to Ireland, I was made to shepherd the flocks day after day. And as I did so, I would pray all the time right through the day. More and more, the love of God, the fear of him grew strong within me. As my faith grew, so the Spirit became more and more active. In snow, in frost, in rain, I would hardly notice any discomfort. I was never slack, but always full of energy. It is clear to me now that this was due to the Spirit within me. But Patrick's devotion to God did not go unnoticed. He soon earned the nickname Holy Boy. How many of you would like that nickname? Among his fellow slaves. One night, Patrick had a dream. In it, he heard a voice telling him, "Soon you will be returning to your own country." In another dream, he received a response to the first dream, being told, come and see where the ship is waiting for you. At the age of 22, Patrick escaped and traveled 200 miles to the coast of Ireland. On his long journey across Ireland, he wrote, I turned on my heel and ran away, leaving behind the man to whom I was bound for 6 years. Yet I came away from him in the power of God, for it was he who was guiding my every step for the best. And so I felt not the least anxiety until I reached the ship. Patrick approached one of the men on the ship that rested on the coast. When he asked aboard, the seaman scowled at him. Patrick started to leave when the man called back to him, saying the other passengers wanted him on board. Patrick wrote, in spite of this, I still hope that they might come to have faith in Jesus Christ. The journey by boat was long, including a stop where they journeyed on land for 28 days. After having run out of food, the captain turned to Patrick and challenged him to ask his God for more. Glad to oblige, Patrick responded, turn trustingly to the Lord who is my God and put your faith in him with all your heart, because nothing is impossible to him. On this day, he will send us food sufficient for our journey, because for him, there is abundance everywhere. According to Patrick's autobiography, when the men turned around, a herd of pigs was standing before them. They feasted for days and gave thanks to God. 2 years later, Patrick finally made it to his beloved Britain and into the hands of his mother and father, who pleaded with him never to leave them again. Patrick began to settle back into his life in Britain and studied to become a priest and a bishop. But one night, Patrick had a dream of a man who seemed to come from Ireland and was carrying a letter with the words, the voice of the Irish. As Patrick began to read the words, he seemed to hear the voice of the same men he worked with, as if they were shouting, holy brother of a boy, we beg you, come back and walk once more among us. But church leaders and Patrick's parents fiercely opposed his plan to return to Ireland. They did not think the Druids were worth saving. His family shuddered at the thought of him returning to barbaric Ireland with the gospel, as the Druids were known to weave criminals and runaway slaves into giant wicker baskets and suspend them over a fire. Of this opposition, Patrick later wrote, so at last I came here to the Irish Gentiles to preach the gospel, and now I had to endure insults from unbelievers, to hear criticism of my journeys, and suffer many persecutions, even to the point of chains. And should I prove worthy, I am ready and willing to give up my own life without hesitation for his name. There was always someone talking behind my back and whispering, what does he want to put himself in such danger among his enemies who do not know God? Patrick had to sell his title of nobility to become the slave of Christ, serving the barbaric nation. While in Ireland, Patrick shared the gospel with his former slave owner, Miliuk the Druid. But instead of turning his back on his pagan gods, Miliuk locked himself in his house and set it on fire, while Patrick stood outside and pleaded with him to turn to Christ. It is said that Miliuk drowned out Patrick's pleas by crying out to his false gods. Miliuk's refusal to hear the gospel was just the beginning of Patrick's challenges with the Druids as he spread the good news across Ireland and taught its people how to read and write. One story that some believe is legend mentions Patrick challenging the Druid wizards in 433 AD on the vernal equinox, which occurred on Easter Sunday that year. Patrick challenged the wizards' power of control by starting a bonfire, which was central to the Druids' ritual, on a hillside opposite of the barbaric idol worshippers. Patrick was dragged before the Druid council, where he had the opportunity to share about Jesus, the light of the world. While some Druids believed, others tried to kill him. Patrick continued his journey across Ireland. He preached at racetracks and other places of worldly indulgences, seeing many come to Christ. However, this was not without opposition. The Druids often tried to poison him. One time, a barbarian warrior speared Patrick's chariot driver to death in an attempt to kill Patrick. He was often ambushed at his evangelistic events and was enslaved again for a short time. He had to purchase safe passage through a hostile warlord's land to continue his journey. Another time, Patrick and his companions were taken as prisoners and were going to be killed, but they were later released in Confessions. That's Patrick's autobiography. Patrick wrote, "As every day arrives, I expect either sudden death or deception, or being taken back as a slave, or some other misfortune. But I fear none of these, since I look to the promise of heaven and have flung myself into the hands of the all-powerful God who rules as Lord everywhere." Patrick journeyed throughout Ireland, sharing Christ until his death on March 17th, around the year 461. Later, Irish mythological creatures known as leprechauns would creep into the holiday celebrations, as well as the symbol of shamrock, believed to have been used by Patrick to illustrate the Trinity as he preached and taught. Some legends have circulated stating Patrick drove all the snakes out of Ireland. Since there are no snakes in Ireland, and snakes often symbolize the devil and evil, many believe the snakes were a metaphor representing his work of driving the idol-worshipping Druid cult out of the country. We pray that the truth of Patrick's courageous life will inspire us to stand firm in Christ and stand strong for him as we tell others about the greatest gift we can ever be given, salvation through Jesus. See, I think Patrick's a great example for us of what St. Paul was talking about, right? Our citizenship in heaven. What Jesus said to the Pharisees, "I'm going to do God's plan. He's going to have his way." May we use St. Patrick as an example for how we should live, trusting that God's plan is best, even though it doesn't always mean it's going to be roses, maybe shamrocks. But the reality is, God's plan is where we experience his grace and his power. May we be people who follow his plan and his will. May this Lenten season be for us a time where we fast, pray, and give so that we can know God's will and plan for our lives and follow him day after day. Amen.